Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic with your help. As I always sign off, I always state that we need your help. And as a matter of fact, it's not we. You need your own help. Your children, everybody who loves liberty has to be involved in this process. Either you're a part of the solution or you're a part of the problem. You can't have it both ways. Just because you're listening, just because you vote, that does not do it. I stated this in my first book, that the status quo of just thinking you can vote your way out of this by not getting involved and not understanding what, because bottom line, you send somebody to Washington, D.C., they are worthless regardless. The only way they become actually a usable politician is when the states are sending directives to Congress telling them what they must do to be in compliance to the Constitution. This is where we finally see the states as the parents in the relationship with the federal government, telling them what, as a child, government must do in order to serve them or pay the consequences. And when I say pay consequences, every politician that refuses to support the Constitution, we have all the teeth necessary. We've just never enforced this. We have never taken the Congress or our federal politicians to the woodshed. And I am telling you that the teeth are right there in the Constitution. In Article 4, the states have the authority to charge any resident with treason. And with the 14th Amendment, Section 3, they have the ability to ban them for life within that state. And even if Congress removes that ban, does not mean that they will be able to run in that state, because the states have the ability to actually have even a greater restriction upon whatever the federal government chooses to do. It would force, like Liz Cheney, if Liz Cheney was removed from office by the state of Wyoming on charges of treason and found guilty for failing to support the Constitution, Liz Cheney's career would be over if Wyoming basically said, we don't care if you get voted and have this disability removed, you will not be able to run for office. You are permanently disqualified in accordance with Section 3 of the Constitution, as well as and have a state law that makes it so that it overrides Congress's ability to remove that. So the only way Liz Cheney would be able to run for office again, she'd have to move to another state. She'd literally be a carpetbagger's carpetbagger, because she's already a carpetbagger. Anyway, this show was sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence. I was hoping to get into the resolutions today, and I don't think we're, not today, this week, and I don't think we're going to be able to, but we will be diving into the resolutions for the revolutions. Well, I keep on telling you, we're going through a Bolshevik revolution, and, you know, there's all these different words that are, you know, tied up and kind of, you know, sitting on the edge of my tongue and or on my lips, and, they come out and they get kind of convoluted, but bottom line, we are going to get into the Kentucky resolutions starting next week. We're going to go into the details of what exactly Madison and Jefferson did. We're going to read it, and we're going to show you how Jefferson audited the Constitution and laid out the argument how each of these laws were unconstitutional. What they're doing is they're showing us the process of going through a contract and identifying all of the violations of the contract and how to deal with that. See, This was never done at a government level. Contracts were always done at a business level, banking and that type of stuff. It wasn't really fathomed even by the framers, this concept of a contract, except for Madison. And as Madison matured over time, the epiphany, or I should say the clarity, came to him with both the resolutions, because in all honesty, Madison could have wrote the Virginia resolutions a lot clearer and could have delineated more in the details of what needed to happen. Why is it that they didn't? I guess they were just basically going on the logic of contract law as everybody understood it. And so, and I don't think everybody understood it at their time. There were too many people that got sidetracked. There were way too many people that got pulled into these misconceptions of nullification. And today we've got organizations out there from the 10th Amendment, the 10th Amendment Center, the John Birch Society. I mean, all of these different organizations are chanting nullification when the problem is not the Constitution. And we're going to get into Madison's notes on this of 1834, because this is an 18-page document. But it is such a powerful document in going through the clarity of what nullification really is and what Madison asserts. And not only asserts, he emphatically asserts that interposition, in other words, the states basically taking every action, physical action necessary in getting the federal government into complying with their compact. And so this means that, like I said, charging those scoundrels with treason, hauling them back, and getting rid of them and replacing them. Folks, there has never been a time, if you have the moral backbone, if you have the integrity, if you have the desire to actually be somebody to serve, there's never been a better time, because there are so many politicians that are corrupt that are going to be going by the wayside. There will be a mad flush of all these bad politicians going down the crapper. That's right. And there will be opportunities abounding at every different level. And so the question is, can you start understanding, and can you get your arms around this concept of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and taking that foundation or that fundamental principle, individual liberty, that fundamental principle, individual sovereignty? What that means is that you have the liberty, you have the free agency, and the responsibility and accountability to make your own choices. And when you make those choices as a sovereign, you are to be held accountable for what you do. You are to be responsible for your actions. In other words, it's not, right? Well, so who cares? I'll get a do-over. No, no. If you do something, you act, and it causes harm, you're going to have to answer for that. And everybody that has made political compromise after political compromise causing harm, well, they're going to have to answer for that, and they're going to be flushed down. So here's the opportunity. Get involved now. Get involved at the state level, because this is where the Thomas Jeffersons and James Madisons and Roger Shermans and Benjamin Rush's, all of these great people, John Hancock, Samuel Adams, all of these great people are there. And that's where they were at the very beginning of this enlightenment and this American enlightenment that brought forth the American Revolution and the evolution to our Constitution. I don't want to call it the Articles of Confederation, because that was a fiasco. They did something, and they did something that they could get every, okay, well, we'll give 100% buy-in for any type of changes. And they did that so that they could get everybody on board. But the problem was that was another political compromise that they made mistakes. They knew that they couldn't get 100%. There's never going to be a way that they could change anything because they had this 100% buy-in requirement. That was a problem. Anyway, as you know, we have a listen line, 425-270-5416. And one thing you don't know that actually is beginning today, as this show goes off, for those of you on the East Coast, because we air from 6 to 7, it's getting ready to, you know, start getting dark out. If you've got a clear sky, the precedes, I believe is that's how you pronounce it, meteor shower, it actually begins today. And I think it takes like goes on for like a week. So if you want to look up the details on this meteor shower, this happens every year. Have you ever taken the time to just spend a day or an evening outside thinking and you know, spending that time with either friends, loved ones, and getting a realization that we're in this bubble here on this earth, and we kind of forget this universe that we're a part of, that this great experiment known as the American Constitutional Republic is not just a happen chance. It is something that was by design by our Creator. There's no doubt in my mind that our Constitution is integral to these last days. And so we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to save it. I don't want to bleed in, for the first time I did it yesterday, I don't want to bleed into my promo. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we've got marketing today. We want to get into that marketing, and we kind of covered republicanism and didn't finish the guarantee clause, republicanism, and some important things, and kind of setting up some information for what I hope to be tomorrow, because I'm going to have a conversation after this show in the evening. I will be having a conversation with John Gentry. He is running for governor in Tennessee. He happens to be, I'll get into it. Just let me kind of go through some of the important information as we kind of build up to all of this. And so As I was saying yesterday, as we kind of covered the Republican form of government clause, or the guarantee clause, actually, there's a reason why, over the course of time, they have allowed protests and actually convinced us the protests are a right in America. There's a reason why. And this goes all the way back down to the very first communist revolution of the 1790s in the French Revolution. If you even go well before that, they understood, and the designer, remember, you can't look at these things as an isolated incident. How is it that history keeps on repeating itself? Is it just because we're stupid? No. How many years has it gone through the annals of history that those who don't understand history are doomed to repeat it? I mean, how many times have you heard that? And how many generations and centuries and thousands of years has that been repeated? One of the things I was amazed at is with Alexander the Great. Now, we're talking over 2,000, almost 3,000 years ago. Alexander the Great went to Aristotle, his mentor, and said, why is it that society continues to allow itself to be subjugated to the state, to the government? And Aristotle basically gave him this understanding of the human mind, because the building blocks of every society, the building blocks of every society is the family. And everybody sees society through their family's eyes. Now, I'm really paraphrasing, because I'm trying to break this into something that you can understand from how it was kind of explained by J.M. Roberts in the History of the World, in his book, because he kind of, and it's a very interesting book. He's a secularist. He believes we came from rodents. He's a revisionist. But in some ways, you know, as a academic, he actually let something slip, like some of the information that we garnered out of Egypt actually proves and supports the biblical concepts, you know, that are written in the very first five books. But anyway, back to Aristotle and telling Alexander the Great that people just make this huge mistake of trying to transpose their society into a family, not realizing that the disparities between neighbors and even within the same family. I mean, anybody that has a friend or is a part of a large family where you have several siblings can look and you can actually see how there's the division amongst the siblings. I don't consider to hail myself from a large family, but I do look at the disparity between my siblings, and there's one that's very close to me. I mean, my brother and I look at our family as like we were brought up by the same parents. And then when we look at our sisters, it's like, whose parents were theirs? I mean, we weren't taught that. And I go, how is it that we were brought up by the same people and their perceptions and their views and paradigms are completely different? And so even in looking at the family and how just one family can start to divide down these different paradigms, it's a huge mistake to try to think that you can adapt a family attitude, because what ends up happening is this noble intent to be basically to succor and to what's another word for it? There's a better word for it, but anyway, to basically to help and to provide for and to protect and to serve, you know, the community and or society, government all of a sudden has to start picking winners and losers, and they have to start implementing measures and procedures that, you know, become more and more, let's just say, drastic. I guess that's a better word, because instead of a spanking, you get put to death when they want to get a very specific behavior. So we need to keep things in perspective, that when we're looking at, you know, our society today, and we see ourselves falling towards a statist government. A statist government is basically the same thing as the family is taken over by the state. That the state dictates who marries who. I mean, in Plato's Republic, who marries who for the betterment of society becomes very important. Because this is how we have the smartest people. This is how we have the strongest people. They start tailoring. They start going down the genetics and those types of things. Long, long time ago, they didn't understand genetics other than they knew that when you had two people of really, you know, strong mental powers and they were very smart, that their children were typically smart. And they knew this thousands of years ago. But they didn't understand genetics. They didn't understand DNA like we do today. And so we understand it's a little more of a crapshoot. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that we get caught up into this concept that, you know, we can do this over and over again. And the whole point of going down this rat hole was let's not forget that we're not just stumbling into these same trappings by accident. This is by design. And as a matter of fact, the designer, and I'll just give him his name, Satan, he's the one that has been basically setting us up to, you know, head into this direction. Now, most people look at this as, well, this is not a huge conspiracy, but actually it is. Even though there are events and things that have happened that were required to happen, but were not connected to what happened after that or happened somewhere else, these things have actually served a purpose that Satan has been able to influence. And he is influencing those who want to take full control. It is about slavery. It is about basically recognizing that, you know, that he has a better plan. And that's what he wants you to believe. But he doesn't. Because his plan is one where you are going to be compelled. You are not going to be able to choose for yourself. And so this is why we have to unite on the Constitution and start rebuilding or restoring, reclaiming this republic by using the Constitution, because the more brilliant mind in the design of mankind, our Creator, gave us everything we need to actually thwart what Satan is doing. Only he knew. And even at that point in time, the framers didn't know. And Satan is banking on the, you know, the lack of time that we have as we uncover and discover these things, whether we can respond. This is why I keep on stressing. I keep on just, you know, berating you. And it's not that you deserve to be berated, but if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. You've got to get involved. You've got to understand. Just take a blind leap of faith. I hate people just taking my word for it. I read these documents. Read these things for yourself. Go through this stuff. You will start to see. You will start to understand the simplicity of our constitutional framework. It is a compact that the states are the final and the only arbiters as to what the federal government can do. They can't make it up as they go along, as they've been doing. And it's time to reset them and put them back into the framework that was designed so that they can serve us instead of serving themselves and serving mammon, as well as serving Satan. Anyway, I really don't like diving into these types of, you know, theological things. But I find it interesting when you can start dovetailing history. And maybe someday I'll get into what Egypt discovered and how they recorded this, because I think it's really important. But nevertheless, there is a reason why. There is a reason why.
we have been taught to believe in the protest because, as I stated, you know, over the history of time, people constantly try to apply a family, you know, type of application to the state so that the state loves us and takes care of us like it's a big family. Well, that's a huge trapping. That's a huge failure. It's the same thing that over the course of time, one of the things that they have always used, or I should say Satan has always used, is anarchy to create panic and fear. When you see people out there just destroying stuff, when you see a child in a fit of a tantrum, do you believe that that child is trying to have a cognitive conversation, or do you believe that that child is basically just consumed by some type of, let's just say, an evil spirit that is, you know, taking all logic and reason away from it and having emotional outbursts? Going into a promo, we'll be right back on this emotional outburst. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so emotional outbursts. When we see these riots, when we see these juvenile delinquents out burning and doing these types of things, it's just the same thing as that little spoiled brat that has this tantrum that basically falls on the ground and flails their arms and screams until they get their way. Why do they do it? Because they learn this because they actually get their way. Now, if you've ever seen a child that has learned about a tantrum from another child and tries that at home and it doesn't work, then this child then starts learning, okay, that didn't work for me. I am telling you that when you look at the societal level, people in the streets with these emotional outbursts, these are contentious activity. This is a point in time where they are creating contention. They're actually yelling. They're yelling at you. They're yelling at society. They're yelling at the store owners. They're yelling at everybody. They're trying to create contention. Now, let me ask you, who is the origin of contention? This goes back to, again, back to a theocratic look. Is Christ a person of contention, or is the spirit of contention? Absolutely not. Satan. Satan is the contentious one. He is the one that tries to use any type of emotions to move you into surrendering. These types of outbursts, these types of actions are not cognitive. But actually, when you look at how these things have been played out, when you look at the action itself, it does not look cognitive. However, these people came together. They came together in advance. They knew that they were going to be together. They were going to do this. And this tantrum was going to, you know, take a long time. They had to do a cross-country tantrum in damaging cities and creating all of this problem to get an outcome, to drive America into a very specific position so that the election would be stolen. These are all things that they are doing and using to get very specific outcomes. And so when we start looking at, you know, these types of things, we can start seeing how anarchy is used as a tool. And these people are very cognitive. They're very deliberate in planning. Again, they've used this type of behavior, anarchy, for centuries. Throughout Europe, they've used anarchy. And it works. And what it does is it basically creates a primal feeling amongst society of fear. And most of those people who are looking at this, they don't want, have you ever saw somebody that has just gone crazy into an absolute fit with their arms flailing? How many people want to just jump in and subdue that person? Not a lot, because when you're dealing with a crazy person, they're bound to do anything from scratching out your eyes. At least this is what they want you to think. And so, and they basically get you to surrender to allow them to do what they're doing. And you'll just still continue to watch. And over time, you'll get to a point where you'll say, what do we have to do? I mean, you know, give them what they want. And there it is. And so it's all about putting us into a position of surrender. And I just want you to understand that, you know, these politicians that have sidestepped the Constitution and the cognitive and the systematic, when people use the word codified, what that means is the enumerated and or the collected and the identified, the organized process, codified, organized process in the Constitution that we need to follow. And there is a process for civil unrest. This is why I try to point out the guarantee clause. The guarantee clause, it states that every state in the union will be Republican in form, that it shall protect each of them from an invasion, and on application of the legislature or of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. In other words, the federal government understood that there was going to be these, they're going to use these types of tools, such as anarchy. That's why this thing is in the Constitution. You can't tell me, you cannot tell me that these men, they knew the tools. They even saw it with the Whiskey Rebellion, but the Whiskey Rebellion was a civil protest compared to what we're seeing today. And what we're seeing today is a rejection of liberty by these people. They want communism. Well, I'm sorry. We have a government, we have a constitution, and we cannot surrender that even if the federal government says we're doing it anyway. The states can, at any point in time, until they surrender this constitution, can stand up and say, sorry, federal government, show me in this constitution where you actually have that power to do that. You don't. It's our constitution. It is our compact. The brilliance, my friends, in this design of this beautiful thing we call the Constitution. I don't know. I mean, as I have matured over the past 5-10 years, my appreciation for the Constitution grows on a daily basis. I am hoping I am praying that as you've listened to this show and you start looking at the Constitution, you start realizing why these things were put in there and why they've just been completely ignored for over a century. There's design. Somebody knew that it was going to get very bad. And that somebody is our creator. The framers didn't realize it. No, they knew that, you know, there were these problems and there was these issues, but they were inspired to ensure that these things were in place. I can't say it any better way. Anyway, so let me kind of get into what I am going to be doing tonight. I'm actually going to have hopefully a long conversation because I want to go through a kind of a history of John Gentry. He is very similar to Bob Schultz with the First Amendment petitioning. He has been a champion for the Constitution and the First Amendment petitioning in the state of Tennessee, and he's been very effective in doing this, just like Bob Schultz. The funny thing is, when I talked to him on Saturday, he'd never heard of Bob Schultz. And I go, really? And I go, this is interesting. And so, this is okay, because see, Bob Schultz wants, and he wants to, as I've worked with Bob Schultz, we've been trying to move forward in working together in using the petitioning as a tool to bring about republic review. And he has kind of, I don't want to say he's abandoned that, but it seems like he's just so frustrated that he just wants to focus on First Amendment petitioning and doesn't want to actually look at the end goal. Because bottom line, folks, the federal government, the only way we can get the federal government into full compliance is that the states actually have to stand up and they actually have to assert that we never gave you these authorities, that you must disband and discard and get rid of all of this unconstitutional things that you've done, all of this debt. All of these things go away because we never gave you the authority to do these things. And so if, you know, China and these other people come along, then you're the people that we will be turning over. And as a matter of fact, that's when as we start going through all of this, even though these people may not know, they still have to be accountable. They took an oath to serve the Constitution. And if they failed under that, and there comes a time where people are going to be held to a crime. Remember, impeachment just removes somebody from a position. That doesn't mean that they've gone through the criminal law. And the Constitution does not shelter any politician from being able to be fully punished under the rule of law. So you have to understand that, you know, Pelosi and all of these people, even if they're dead, they stand at risk of being dug up, sent overseas, and burned in effigy, and or tried for their treason. Bottom line, because we're a nation of laws, we have everything we need because we are this form of government. The question is, are we going to allow less than 20% of this population? Because I am telling you, the Bolshevik Revolution isn't even being done by 10% of the population. It's probably less than that. But if you look at the Patriot movement, I mean, the Patriot movement is, you know, if the Revolutionary War is maybe 3 to 7% somewhere in there. And if you look at today, it's probably the same numbers, less than 10% on both sides of the extremes. Those of us who want to preserve the Constitution and all of this indifference in between. There's way too many people that are indifferent. You know, people that you think is a good guy, but why is he going to the NFL games? Why is he watching basketball? Doesn't he know that those people are polluting our minds and they're standing up for communism? These people don't understand. I mean, you could slap them in the face and they still just don't get it. Anyway, so John Gentry, we're going to have this conversation. I want to go through some of his history. I want to, you know, focus on him, what he's been doing. I shared Republic Review with him. So what we want to end up doing in the last half of my conversation with him is so that he understands why it is essential that the parties do their job. I mean, the First Amendment petition is a very powerful tool. Absolutely. It is a very powerful tool. However, it is a tool, just like the common law grand jury is a tool. But there are certain things that must be done regarding the compact. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
And see, I almost bled into that commercial. I mean, 2 days in a row. Anyway, fortunately I didn't. Are those two promos? Let me kind of wrap up because we're in our last segment here. Let me just try to get you to understand the primary objects of government. In our paradigm, in the American paradigm, the primary objects of government is to, one, their first and foremost is to protect our lives. In other words, they're to protect us from evil governments, from evildoers, to protect our lives, not to basically create such laws that protect us from ourselves, not a puritanistic law and those types of things, but they have a responsibility to protect our lives. Now, can they actually go and start, you know, dictating to corporations? No, not the federal government. It's not delegated to them. That's the state government. And the state government has some limitations, too, because of the Commerce Clause. If all of a sudden, one state is causing harm and they're creating a product that's, you know, killing people, then the states have to basically rally because it's their responsibility to protect their people to go after that state and sue them. And this is where the federal government does come in and say, yes, you know, these states have a responsibility of protecting, and they would rule in favor in shutting down or having that state regulate the products that are being made by General Motors and, you know, what they're doing to the cars that are killing people or what have you. And I'm just this hypothetical. But the point is that is their primary and their second primary responsibility is to protect property. Now, when I say protect property, it doesn't just mean protect it from these hoodlums that are out there, you know, damaging businesses and cities and so forth. I'm also basically stating that their job is to protect property so that they don't take it from you because they are so onerous, because government is so big and bloated that they tax you into oblivion where they take your property. That is the antithetical government that exists outside the United States. Our government is to be limited and defined, and that basically, we're to be given as much leeway, and the government that should be controlling us the most should be our county, our local governments, not the state and not the federal. That was the design, distributive. Our government and the political energies, as Jefferson started, he was theorizing this concept of a distributive government. And he said that government should be, the most energy, the political energy should be closest to the people where it affects their everyday lives. In other words, your county government. And that the remote government should have very little effect on your everyday life other than, whether you go to war, whether you have to pay for that war, and whether, have these measures of security to protect us from invaders, from our southern border, these types of things. This is their job. That's it. So when we start putting it into that context, then we can start actually looking at what really we need to do. And folks, we've gone through so many changes in our society that our paradigms have basically been adjusted, adapted to the concept of the statist mentality. Oh, well, government should be protecting us. Government should be doing all of these things when government really shouldn't be doing all of these things. And as a matter of fact, government has been colluding with corporations for a long, long time at our disadvantage. This is why we see tech companies that are influencing and becoming so affluent. Because you look at how many tech companies are paying their pound of flesh in taxes. They're making revenue in every state. Facebook makes revenue in every state, and they don't pay taxes in those states that they're making revenue, only in the states that they actually have a physical presence, which is why they limit their physical presence. Because isn't it great that you can make money and not pay taxes or skirt the system? See, instead of you paying property tax, the tech company should be paying on all of the business that they've been generating and making billions and billions of dollars and seizing more and more control over every facet of your life, and we've been none the wiser. This is why when I have this conversation with John Gentry, we want to create what I want to call it for the 2022 campaign, a campaign for like a Bill of Rights, a Bill of Rights for the 21st century to restore individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and basically ensuring that those entities that are causing, are creating and obtaining all sorts of revenue, well, they pay their pound of flesh. They pay their share in the taxes. In the state of Washington, Rob Chase went out and he basically did a quick numbers crunch. And he came up with just going after five of the big tech companies. And I don't think Amazon was one of them. But five of the big tech companies would bring in $200 million in revenue a year. Now, that doesn't mean that that's it. When we start talking about tech companies and their influence and affluence, we have to talk about how they are filtering and how they're causing the narrative. This is why I've kind of gone down this path on 2 points. First off, the opt-out. When I talked about Windows 10, I believe it was last week, we were talking about, all of this spying, all of these things that these tech companies are doing with their applications, their operating systems, and so forth. And they're doing things, spying and sharing info. And then with that info, they can out you or they can do, extortion and so forth. It's the same thing with the government extorting from its own people, like what happened with Tucker Carlson. Anyway, my point is, is that these companies must, and the states must actually require that they be opted out. And if they ever get caught in releasing your data to anybody, that they will be destroyed. Because we have a concept in America that it is wrong for the wrong person. This is why we have such a high bar for crime and for the capital punishment, that it is, we would rather see 9 people not go to jail to ensure that, you know, everybody that goes to jail deserves to be there. Because we do not want one person behind bars that does not deserve to be there. And it's the same thing. So when a company crosses that line, then it should be a complete scorched earth. They should be destroyed. The management should be, I would say, tattooed, so that as they go, as this CEO and all the leaders that were a part of this maniacal, pernicious corporation that was spying and extorting and doing all of these evil things, that they're marked so that when they go to Adobe, when they go to some other company, because Adobe's doing these things too today, and they're marked and people can see, oh, that was that pernicious person that did this thing that outed so-and-so and did this and did that. We cannot allow these types of things to be occurring in America. It's one thing that, you know, people have the freedom to do what they want to do. And it's another thing that corporations can basically put a stranglehold on you and start spying on you and controlling you. I'm sorry, my friends. I understand the paradigm of, well, if you don't have anything to hide, then why should you care? It's not that. It's about misrepresentation. And I will give you a great case in point. There was a gentleman who had this application on his phone that would keep track of his route every day he rode on his bicycle, with a GPS. It kept track of where he was going. And on his common route, he went down this street, which was a cul-de-sac. He turned around just, you know, to gain the mileage so that he would have so many miles a day on his bike. Well, this application happened to share and report, and he didn't know that this was being done, but it shared and reported to the police that he was physically present during a burglary, when actually he just rode by at that point in time when the burglary occurred. And the app could have easily differentiated that, but it didn't. It basically just narked on this guy that he was there. The police, the local police, went and arrested this guy because basically, they had this application putting him at the scene of the crime. And then now he had to prove his innocence in a land where we're all innocent until proven guilty. My friends, we cannot allow corporations, we cannot allow entities such as government itself to inflict upon us to take away our property. This is why this title fraud. Why is it that somebody can defraud you out of your home on something that you had nothing to do with? Did you put your title out there? Do you have a website that you put all of these precious documents that could actually cause financial harm to you? No, it's the county, it's the title company, it is government and entities themselves that sidestep the responsibility, and then you get left with no house. All of these things must be addressed. We need to start protecting ourselves. And who's to do that? This needs to be our state legislators. This needs to be a part of the 2022 campaign. We need to start demanding that our rights be protected, that our lives and property be protected by our state legislatures, and demand that they do so. This is what we're going to drive in 2022. And I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we can't do it without your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure.
In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.